Welcome to the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I am Nate Schreiber, and as always, with my co-host, Alex Pollinger.
Welcome back. We had a few weeks off with the break between OTAs and minicamp, and training camp has started. So today, we're recording on Friday, July 27th, the second day of camp here. So Nate and I thought we would have a good exercise of going through how we would build the 53-man roster from the current 90-man as it stands now. I believe, Nate, you did it from the perspective of what you think the Bills are going to do, correct?
Correct, yeah. So I kind of put myself in Brandon Bean's shoes, and I said, if I was Brandon Bean, what do I think Brandon Bean's going to do? And that's how I built mine out. And Alex, you did yours a little bit differently.
Yeah, so I basically just did it as if I'm the armchair GM of the Buffalo Bills. So without further ado, we'll get into it and kind of go position by position here, talk about, you know, what the easy decisions to make are, and then some of the tougher ones as you kind of get down to the depth guys at different positions and evaluate, you know, where you want to have that depth and where you might stick some guys on the practice squad.
Yeah, so I do think our first position is probably going to be our easiest position in terms of who's going to be on the roster, and that would be quarterback. I don't see the Bills cutting any of these guys. Do you agree with that, Alex?
I don't see the Bills cutting any of those guys, and I'm inclined to think I would not cut any of them either. I just don't see a scenario where Allen or Peterman just completely blow McCarron out of the water and make him, you know, useless to have on the roster. So I think there's a lot of value in keeping McCarron there. You know, you never know when an injury like Carson Wentz happens, you know, to Allen or Peterman, and all of a sudden you're down to one quarterback. You know, I can see McCarron, you know, maybe being a trade chip later in the season, but in my mind, all three, I have them on my 53 going into the first week of the season.
Yeah, so I tend to agree with that. The only way they would end up keeping two, and I still don't think Brandon Bean would do this, even if he thought that Josh Allen was ready to go, and he has a great training camp, a great preseason. Even if he thought he was ready to go, I still don't see him cutting Peterman or McCarron. I would imagine if one was to go, it would probably be Peterman. And based on training camp, at least today was interesting, actually. Just as a quick side note, Josh Allen split reps with the ones and the threes, which I thought was really interesting. I don't think I've ever seen that before in NFL training camp.
Yeah, they kind of did some interesting things splitting up the reps in mini camp. And, you know, Allen got some run with the ones, twos, and threes. And it looks like they're kind of just going to move guys all over the place. And it might be a couple of weeks before we see, you know, a clear front runner for the starting job as we go through a couple of preseason games.
Yeah, I am happy that he's getting time with the ones. I think it would have been a complete waste of a training camp if he was, like, splitting with the twos and the threes or strong with the threes. Because when you're drafting a guy at seven, you got to run with the ones at least half the time.
Right. And, you know, Joe Biscaglia, the Bills beat reporter for WKPW, and he said, you know, it's clear that Josh Allen is the most talented quarterback on the roster. It's just a matter of who's most ready to be the starter come week one.
And that makes sense. I mean, you draft the guy at seven, you're clearly expecting him to be more talented than anyone else you have, or else you wouldn't be drafting him at number seven overall.
That's exactly right. So that fills three of our 53-man roster spots. So we're going to move on to running back here, Nate. And I think this is where we're going to see a big difference between probably what you see the Bills doing and what I would do personally.
Yeah, so this is actually one. I did a first iteration of this, and then today I was thinking about it. And this is a position I changed today when I thought about it some more. And I was thinking about the uncertainty surrounding LeSean McCoy. Now, right now, he's obviously at camp. He's practicing. It doesn't seem like there's anything on the horizon. But given the scenario, the situation that he is involved in, well, we don't really know if he was involved or not. But he's involved in the legal process now, or he at least had to hire a lawyer, and they're investigating. And just in case something happens with him, I added an extra running back to my 53, and I removed a wide receiver to do so.
Okay, so who are the running backs that you have the Bills keeping? And so let me just first ask a qualifying question. Are we counting fullbacks in with the running backs here?
Yeah, so I did. So I'm keeping five running backs. on counting the fullback, though. So Patrick DeMarco counts in my five running backs.
Okay. So who are your other four? Obviously, so, McCoy,
Chris Ivory, Marcus Murphy, and Travis Cadet.
All right. So we actually were pretty close here, Nate, except I did not keep Patrick DeMarco.
You did not keep. So you would not keep Patrick DeMarco if you were running the Bills.
Yeah, he's more than just a fullback, but fullbacks really have no place in the NFL anymore for the most part. And the way I see it, there's more value in keeping another wide receiver or a tight end that can play that fullback role. A guy like Nick O'Leary or Keith Tobridge, I think, could just step in and play kind of almost like that H-back role if they have to be the blocker and run plays. To me, in today's NFL, that just seems like a waste of a roster spot, especially when we saw where they completely lacked any sort of depth at the defensive back positions last year. So I'm inclined to only keep four running backs. And if something does pop up with that LeSean McCoy incident where he is no longer available, there's going to be a lot of good players cut from other teams' 53-man rosters. I think you can find a younger running back that gets cut from someone else's final cut down to the 53 and just sign them to a minimum deal if you have to.
I follow your reasoning, and I do tend to agree with it. I think the one difficult thing, even as you an armchair GM, is Patrick DeMarco's contract is not the friendliest to get out of right now. Because like half of it was guaranteed when he signed it last year. And so it would be like $3 million in dead money to cut him right now, which obviously the Bills are going to have a ton of cap space next year, but it's you'd have to feel comfortable eating $3 million essentially.
Yeah. And that's one of those things that may not be worth it. It's very scenario dependent, but to me, I think it's almost worth eating that $3 million given, what else I've done on the roster here. So we'll move on to wide receiver. And this is the question marks we talked about in the training camp preview pod, talking about, they could have anywhere from four to six or seven wide receivers that are, guys that should make the roster potentially. But it's after Calvin Benjamin, it's a cluster.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The Bills have one guy who has proven in the NFL that he can be something close to like a number 1B type option or a really good number 2 option. He's proven that in the 4 years he's been in the NFL. Beyond him, there is no one on this roster that's proven they're a top option on an NFL team.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And I feel like we're probably going to have four guys that are – at least three guys that are complete locks to make the roster that we'll agree on here, Nate, from the two different perspectives. So who do you have the Bills keeping for sure at the wide receiver spot?
So I have four guys that I think 100% they are going to be on the team barring some injury that knocks them out for the season. And that's Calvin Benjamin, Jeremy Curley, Zay Jones, and Andre Holmes.
And I have those same exact four. Holmes just provides way too much value on special teams and in the red zone. He proved his worth there on both those roles last year. And I just can't see them getting rid of him because there's nothing really behind him that would make you want to cut Andre Holmes.
No, a fun fact. It's not really a fun fact, I guess, but Andre Holmes led the Bills in receiving touchdowns last year. So how many times in NFL history has a player led the team in receiving touchdowns and then got an outright cut during training camp the next season? I bet that number is pretty low, maybe even never.
I bet you're probably right there, Nate, but it's almost like it would have been difficult to not lead the Bills in receiving touchdowns last year, given how few they had.
Yeah, he led them. If I think it was four, I read that he led them earlier. So it was either three or four. And Shady had two, and Calvin had two. I think Zay had two as well.
Calvin had two, and he was there half the season. And yeah, almost led the team.
Yeah, he almost led the team, and he really could or should have if they had just thrown the ball a little bit more. Because that's the one thing with him that the Bills need whoever plays quarterback needs to understand what he's good at and just throw the ball near him even when he's covered, because he's never going to be open. And that's a that was part of the problem last year with Tyrod throwing to him. So hopefully, whether it's Peterman, McCarron, Josh Allen, they will just throw him the ball.
I think you're exactly right there, Nate. So how many more wide receivers did you keep? Because after those four, there's nine guys that I don't see any clear separation on at the moment.
So I originally, when I had done this the first time, I decided to keep Ray-Ray McCloud and Austin Prohl both. But I took Austin Prohl off when I added a running back, and I think Ray-Ray McCloud's going to make the team because I think they're going to use him in the return game. And I think that is going to be his ticket to the 53.
I think that's a pretty good argument there, Nate. So you have just five guys, with McCloud being the fifth one.
Correct. And that another reason for that is, now we don't know what Dable's going to do, but how often did the Bills run? Have the Bills ran five wide receiver sets in the past?
Never.
And I don't think Dable's going to be running a lot of five wide receiver sets with, no matter who you're running with at quarterback, you have an unproven guy at quarterback, and I don't think five wide receiver sets are conducive to success at that position with the guys on the roster for the Bills.
That and putting out a fifth wide receiver over Charles Clay or LeSean McCoy splitting out wide off or on the line of scrimmage, that it just doesn't make sense to me to take both of those guys off the field and putting in like a Ray-Ray McCloud in a five wide receiver set. I'd rather see Clay or McCoy.
Yeah, honestly, if you're talking about just pure from a receiving aspect, it's Bill's top three receivers, in my opinion, are Calvin Benjamin, Charles Clay, and LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, and those will be the top three in receptions if they all stay healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. And you see every single year. Last year, Shady, actually, when he was out in the slot, he did a lot of really good work in the slot. And I hope to see him there a lot again this year. So that's a very good point, Alex.
And I think we'll also see, you know, if Kadett and Marcus Murphy make the roster, those are good third down backs that you can dump the ball off to that aren't Mike Tolbert.
Yeah. Anything is better than Mike Tolbert. Watching him last year, especially the situations the Bills used him in, I was just, most of the time, just confused.
It's going to be a relief every third down, whether it ends up being an interception or a three and out or a first down. At least you know it's not going to Mike Tolbert.
Yeah, just watching that Bills try to throw him screen passes last year instead of throwing them to Shady, like, what are you doing?
All right, so I did not keep Ray-Ray McCloud. I think you make a great argument there, Nate, that his return abilities are going to be his ticket to the 53. I actually kept two of these nine guys that are kind of just all on, you know, basically the same talent level. I'm keeping Robert Foster. I know he had a great first day of camp yesterday, and I actually filled out my 53 before that. I don't know. I think he provides a really good speed element. I guess he's a decent route runner, and he was a guy back, you know, in the combine time that scouts didn't really want him invited to the combine because they were scared that was going to get him drafted. He ultimately didn't get drafted, but I mean, he was a draftable talent. And I think that speed element gives something the Bills they don't have on offense to take the top off the defense.
That is 100% true. The Bills don't, since Sammy Watkins got traded, they don't have a speed guy. And I think another thing with Foster too is he does have connections to Brian Daboll. And now, whether or not that factors into the decision making, they're going to say it doesn't. But I can't imagine that they don't talk about it when behind closed doors.
Yeah, I mean, I think I could see him playing the Deontay Thompson role, and we saw, you know, a few games where Deontay Thompson was a huge part of the offense, and you know they weren't really a downfield passing offense last year. That could change a little bit this year with the new offensive coordinator that may not be terrified of throwing the ball anywhere. So I think Foster has a place on this roster. I could see McCloud getting the spot over him, but more or less, they're similar players.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Foster is obviously a bigger body to go along with the speed he has, being 6'2", where McCloud's a bit smaller. But yeah, they would fill similar roles on offense. That is true.
And then the sixth wide receiver I kept, it seems a little bit redundant with Robert Foster's skill set, but I have Rod Streeter.
Streeter's interesting. Streeter is actually a really interesting player to talk about. He, last year in preseason, looked really, really good. And I was pretty confident he was going to make the team until he hurt his toe or whatever he hurt and was on injured reserve after, I think, was it the third preseason game?
Yeah, I think that's when he went down.
Yeah, and he is, he's older, but if he plays well again in preseason, I can see him making the roster. He is. The one thing going against him, though, is his age, I think.
Yeah, what is he, about 29 or 30?
He's 30, yeah. And I think he'd be the oldest receiver by, like, oh no, Holmes. Holmes is 32. But yeah, so but other than that, I think he'd be the oldest receiver by a couple of years.
Yeah, and another thing with Streeter is I think he provides good special teams ability as, you know, a gunner and, you know, a cover man on kickoffs.
Yeah, and that played into some of my 53, but mostly on the defensive side of the ball. I think at linebacker, the Bills actually have, I think the linebacker position provides them a lot of what they need on special teams.
Yeah, I agree there, Nate. I pretty much put together most of their special teams at wide receiver and linebacker. So that'll be interesting to watch how the wide receiver battles unfold. I have seen some people say Malachi Dupree could be a sneaky guy to make the roster. That'll be interesting. And the other guys, like Riley and Austin Prohl, they're going to be practice squad guys, I think. And I can't imagine another team swiping them off their practice squad.
No, I especially not Austin Prohl. Brandon Riley, I thought last year he was going to get poached off the practice squad. And the fact that he didn't actually kind of surprised me, but because of that, the Bills can probably feel confident putting him back there again for one more season.
All right, so we'll move on to tight end now. I kind of alluded to what I did here when we talked about running backs, but I kept four tight ends here, Nate, mostly to have, you know, one kind of play sort of a fullback role when necessary. What did you do? What do you think the Bills are going to do here at tight end?
So I think they're going to keep three tight ends. It is hard to figure out Logan Thomas, keep Towbridge, because I do think there's a chance that Towbridge can sneak past him in the preseason. But I think the Bills are going to keep Clay, O'Leary, and Thomas again. I think that Logan Thomas showed enough last season in his first season playing the position, and now that he had a full offseason to go through as a tight end, I think that there's a good chance he takes a pretty large step forward in camp this year.
Yeah, and Thomas is a guy that played quarterback his whole career up until, you know, a year and a half ago. So he doesn't quite carry the mileage of, you know, a tight end his age. So I still think there's a decent level of potential there and a higher ceiling. So I can't really see getting rid of an athlete like that that's still learning the position, especially on a veteran minimum deal.
Yeah, that's a good point. I do struggle to see the Bills keeping four tight ends just because McDermott kept nine offensive linemen all last season. I think he's going to do the same thing again this year. And I think it's difficult to keep four tight ends and then also nine offensive linemen.
I actually found a way to do it, Nate.
Well, so what? Let's talk about the offensive line then.
So let me just throw in my fourth tight end. I do have Towbridge there just because I have seen that he's another sneaky guy to make the 53 and a pretty good athlete.
Yeah, he's the only other tight end in camp, correct?
There's also Jason Kroom and Kari Lee.
Kari Lee, I knew about. Jason, the other guy did not know was in camp.
Yeah, those are two guys that I think have kind of bounced on and off the roster or training camp roster the last couple of years. But so we'll move on to, you want to start with offensive tackle for the line?
We can start with the tackle. So one, there's pretty much, so Deion Dawkins is obviously the left tackle.
Yep.
There's no doubt that he is the left tackle for the Buffalo Bills. Right tackle, I imagine Jordan Mills is going to start the season at right tackle. I don't think they'll go away from him. I mean, he's been the right tackle for pretty much the entire last, what, three seasons?
Two and a half, maybe.
Two and a half, yeah. So I just don't think that they're going to go away from him, even though he has struggled, big time. But so my other two tackles are Marshall Newhouse, and I think the big thing for him is A, he's started 70-something games in the NFL, and B, he can play a couple different positions across the line, so he's a versatility guy. And I also think that Connor McDermott is going to make the roster as well.
Yeah, and I have the same four here. I just can't see any of the five other guys making the roster. McDermott seemed to be a guy they were pretty high on. I believe he was cut from the Patriots at the end of their training camp, and the Bills stuck him on their 53, if I remember correctly.
So the Bills, he was cut from the Patriots, and he was on the roster after Shaquille Henderson got placed on the suspended list.
Okay, that's how that unfolded. So, yeah, I mean, you make good points about Newhouse. The Bills love versatility, and it's great to have a guy that can play tackle and guard. And Jordan Mills is the entrenched starter at right tackle. He plays okay in the power run scheme, so I'm interested to see if he plays a little bit better, at least in the run game this year, but he has to get better in pass protection because there's the three quarterbacks on the roster aren't guys that are going to go out there and win you a game themselves, and they've got to have that right side protected.
Yeah, I think that the offensive line is going to be a struggle for the Bills this season. I will be pleasantly surprised if the offensive line does not struggle in pass protection, but it's definitely an unknown slash just weakness for the team. There are some unknowns, but there's generally like the guys on the offensive line for the Bills are really just not that good.
They basically have a bunch of depth players covering their offensive line except for Deion Dawkins, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. And I think Dawkins does have the potential to take a pretty large step forward this year. And he was pretty impressive last year. Almost every single game, he did a couple things. I was like, wow, this guy is really good.
Yeah, I mean, he's an incredible athlete for a left tackle. So the ceiling is very high there. And, you know, we'll see what the Bills do with the other tackle spots. But I think we've got those four spots pretty nailed down. So let's move on to guard. Based on what I wrote down here, Nate, there's only four guards on the roster going into training camp. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. And I think that two of them are 100% guarantees to make the roster. And then a third is likely, but not 100% guarantee.
So who are your two that are absolutely making the roster?
John Miller and Wyatt Teller.
Okay. Not who I thought you were going to say with the second one, but I agree.
And I think the reason... So you think Wyatt Teller's a surprise?
Given that you said two were for sure, I figured your second would be Vlad Dekas. But
I don't think he is for sure because of his... They could save like his cost and his age. I think John Miller coming back into a more power run scheme, which I'm assuming Dable's will tailor to the strengths of the line, which really is power run scheme. I think John Miller's a man at right guard, and I don't know if Dukas is a guy they're going to keep as a depth guy when you just drafted a guard in the fifth round who you obviously like a lot. And given that Ryan Groy is probably going to make the roster, he can play the guard positions, and the same thing with Newhouse. I think Dukas is going to I have him on the roster. I think the Bills are going to keep him, but I think if one of those guys isn't going to make the roster, it's Dukas.
I think that's a good point you make, especially with his contract. I think Dukas is going to be the starting left guard at least week one, but Wyatt Teller is definitely knocking on the door for that spot. And I think John Miller is really going to be the Bills' comeback player of the year. We saw how well he did in that second season when they ran that power run scheme. I mean, he wasn't just good. He was really good that year. And then when they switched back to Dennison's zone-based scheme, he just really fell off last year. But from everything I've read, it sounds like he's kind of come back in, refocused, and, you know, this is a contract year for him, I believe. So I think Miller's going to come out here, he's going to earn the job, and I think he's going to play well this year and earn himself that right guard spot for the years coming forward for the Bills.
I tend to agree with that. I think that John Miller is going to be a comeback player in that sense, where because he got benched early in the year last year because he couldn't adjust to the scheme, and I think that's more poor coaching than anything, because you know what a guy's good at, and you ask him to do something he's not good at, it's probably not going to work out that well.
Yeah, good riddance, Rick Dennison. So I also kept Groy and Teller here. I kept all four guards. Groy provides a lot of versatility playing both guard spots and the center position. So I guess we'll move on to center, where we have Russell Bodine and Redmond. I don't even know his first name.
Adam?
Yeah, him.
So I'm Bodine obviously is going to make the roster. I still think it's up in the air between Russell Bodine and Ryan Groy, who's going to be the starting center. They essentially have the same contract, and I think it's going to be an open competition during training camp.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. Like we talked about a few pods ago, I do think it depends on who the quarterback is when it comes to the starting center, because Ryan Groy is really tall for a center, and I think the only guy that can play behind him is Josh Allen.
Yeah, especially if you're trying to do a lot of stuff with a quarterback under center. I think if Dable's offense is going to be more focused on the shotgun, it might not make as much of a difference. But yeah, it definitely is a factor at the very least.
Yeah, because I mean, what is Groy listed at? Like 6'7", I think?
Or yeah, I think he's 6'7", or 6'8".
Which is just enormous for an interior lineman. But I agree, Bodine will make the roster. I think they're keeping 9 offensive linemen. They like to have depth there. It's good to have depth there because, you know, you have to protect the quarterback and you have to be able to make running lanes.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's going to be, I think, my position to watch for the Bills through preseason is the offensive line. I think that I'm going to be most intrigued by how the competitions play out and also how they play as a unit in general.
I agree, Nate. So, with that, let's count up how many guys you kept on the offensive side of the ball, and I'll do the same. I know I had three QBs, 4 running backs, 6 wide receivers, 4 tight ends, and 9 offensive linemen. So that gives me 26 players.
And I kept 25. So I had 3 quarterbacks, 5 running backs, 5 wide receivers, 3 tight ends, and 9 offensive linemen.
So we're not all that different based on what you think the Bills will do and what I would do. And I think that's because there's not a whole lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball, so there's not really many tough decisions. I think where our conversation is going to get interesting is right here on the defensive line. So let's start with defensive end. Who are you keeping there, or who do you think the Bills are going to keep?
So I think they're going to keep Jerry Hughes, Shaq Lawson, Trent Murphy, Eddie Yarborough, and Terrence – how do you say his name? Terrence Fetty?
Sure.
We'll go with that. I've never – So I think those are the 5 guys. I think Owa Ogedisu Huzua, however the heck you say that.
Odigizuwa.
Yeah, that. I think he is possibly could make the team, but he was out of football last year. He played a little bit with the Giants in 2016. I think that maybe he could make the roster. I mean, he was a former 3rd-round pick, but I think that it's unlikely he does.
Yeah, so I had Hughes, Lawson, Murphy, Yarborough as the 4 for sure. And I kept Odigizuwa. You know, he's definitely got the talent. He's a, like you said, former 3rd-round pick. He's only 26. It seems like a type of guy that would just flourish under Sean McDermott and kind of, you know, a second chance kind of guy, maybe a third chance. I don't know how long he's been around. But I think he provides some good depth at defensive end as a pass rusher.
Yeah, and I do agree with that. I just think that Terrence Fetty has the more of a potential to contribute on special teams. And that's, again, why I think the Bills obviously think about that when they're constructing their roster. And that's a big reason as why I'm keeping him over anyone else.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Nate. And that's probably where we differed, where I kept Rod Streeter to play special teams, where you're keeping Fetty here. And you know, that's something we'll have to watch in training camp. That could be like a final cutdown decision for the Bills.
Yeah, I think that the back end of the roster is going to come down to who's going to contribute on special teams. And if you are contributing on special teams, you have a way better chance of making the roster.
All right, so let's go to defensive tackle here. How many defensive tackles are you keeping?
I'm keeping 4 defensive tackles. I think there's a chance that 5 that someone sneaks on as a 5th, but I'm keeping 4 defensive tackles.
All right, so you're definitely keeping Star Latulele, obviously. Adolphus Washington, Kyle Williams.
Harrison Phillips.
And Harrison Phillips, yeah.
Yep.
that's exactly the four I had. I was on the fence about Ricky Hatley. That was a guy I could see that if they wanted to keep a fifth defensive tackle. It just depends on, you know, the level of depth they want on the interior line. And it could also depend on if Adolphus Washington gets traded, if they keep Hatley.
And yeah, so Hatley's, he's the same guy I think could sneak on to the back end of the roster. And he's huge, which he's like 6'4", 325 pounds. And he played one game in the regular season last year against Miami, last game of the regular season. And the Bills held Miami to under 100 yards rushing in that game. And then he played like 20 snaps in the playoff game against Jacksonville. And the Jaguars didn't really run the ball all that well because the majority of their rushing yards were Blake Bortles running around the field. I think outside of his 90 yards rushing or whatever he had, they had maybe 70 yards on the ground beyond outside of that. So he seems to be potentially worth keeping around.
Yeah, he just brought up horrible memories of Blake Bortles running for more yards than he passed against the Bills in that game.
Yeah, that's one we'll never be able to forget that one.
Yeah, so it will be intriguing if the Bills try to deal Shaq Lawson or Adolphus Washington for, you know, other players or picks. And that could really shape what they're going to do at other positions. But I think we're pretty much all square on the defensive end and defensive tackles here, Nate, barring any trades. But, you know, we'll cover that maybe in a week or two if that happens during training camp. So let's move on to corners. Who are you keeping at the corner, or who do you have the Bills keeping at the corner spots?
So I have five cornerbacks. I think the Bills are going to keep Vontae Davis, Phillip Gaines, Tre'Davious White, Teron Johnson. I think those four are locks to make the roster. And then I think Levi Wallace. I think they're going to end up keeping Levi Wallace, and I think he's going to make the team as an undrafted free agent. But it's certainly going to be a group to keep an eye on and training camp, because that fifth corner spot is pretty wide open.
Yeah, I have pretty much the same thing. I do have them cutting Phillip Gaines, and I think that depends on if Teron Johnson takes that nickel corner spot before the season starts. If he doesn't take it by week one, I think he will be the starting nickel corner, you know, by midseason, and that would probably mean Phillip Gaines is gone, barring any injuries to the other corners. So I have White, Davis, Johnson. I have Levi Wallace. I mean, ever since they signed him right after the draft, that was a guy that just I thought was going to make the 53. He was a great player at Alabama. He's a bit undersized. He's got long arms. You know, he just kind of fits the mold of a Sean McDermott defense corner.
Yeah, he certainly does. And that's why I think he's going to make the team. Everything that's been said about him since he got signed and after minicamp, going to training camp, everything coming out of Buffalo about him is positive. And I think that speaks to what they think about him at this point.
Yeah, so I have those four, and then instead of Phillip Gaines, I have Breon Borders making it as the fifth corner. He just seems to be the guy that probably has more talent than Pitts or McCray. Do you think that's accurate?
Yeah, I think that if anyone but Levi Wallace makes the roster, is probably going to be Breon Borders.
Yeah, and the only reason I'm thinking Borders over Gaines is that, you know, the contract situation. They're paying Gaines a bit more money. If Teron Johnson takes the nickel corner spot, then Phillip Gaines is kind of useless on your roster. So that opens up, you know, maybe a spot for Borders as a younger guy on a lesser contract than Gaines.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just think Teron Johnson is going to take some time to acclimate to the NFL. And I think he'll be starting at some point this season, but not week one, which is why I think Phillip Gaines will be the week one starter in the slot.
All right, so we both have five corners here, a bit different on the fifth one, but let's move on to safeties. How many safeties are you keeping?
So I am keeping five safeties. I think that Dean Marlowe is going to make the team because of what he could give Sean McDermott on defense and as like a big nickel package. And I think that's why he'll make the team. And outside of him, so I have Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, obviously, and then Raphael Bush and Cyron Neal.
All right. Interesting. We're keeping 10 DBs. And I like that, given how badly they needed depth last year in the secondary. I also have Poyer and Hyde, obviously. Saran Neal, Raphael Bush. I was on the fence about keeping Marlowe. I know, you know, the beat reporters have spoke glowingly about him. We'll see how he plays once the pads come on. That's a spot, I think, when it comes to the final cut down between, you know, maybe a sixth wide receiver or a tenth defensive back, that could be a choice for the Bills there.
Yeah, it will be a choice. And I think, like we said before, it's going to come down to special teams. Who is going to contribute more on special teams? And I think that is where that roster spot is going to be won.
Yeah, so it seems like we're pretty much the same. The defensive back seems pretty easy, definitely on the front end. It's more of just who they want to keep for the depth guys. So let's go to linebacker. I think this is where things get really interesting when it comes to the final cutdown.
At least for me, what I think the Bills are going to do is where a lot of special teams focus. I think that Ramon Humber, Julian Stanford, and Tanner Vallejo will make the roster because of their special teams contributions. And I think that Tanner Vallejo is going to make it over Keenan Robinson because of special teams contributions. I may be wrong. Keenan Robinson obviously brings way more to the table as actually playing the linebacker position than Tanner Vallejo does. But I think at this point, Vallejo's special teams contributions give him a little bit of a step up. And then outside of that, obviously, it's going to be Tremaine Edmonds, Matt Milano, and Lorenzo Alexander, who I think are the three starters at linebacker this year.
Yep, we're spot on there, Nate. I have all six of those guys. Deion Lacey is a guy I could see replacing maybe Stanford or Vallejo, but I think the Bills just like Stanford and Vallejo more than Deion Lacey. Lacey was one of those guys they picked up after teams made their final cutdowns last year.
Yeah, and Stanford just brings so much on spot. He's the best special teamer out of the linebacker group, and he's going to make the roster because of that. And then Humber also is a very good special teamer, and if he's not seeing the starting snaps, then he'll be able to play a lot more on special teams. And I think Milano has that job now.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to see Edmonds and Milano on the field pretty much all the time, I would think, or at least pretty close to it. And you know, Ramon Humber, he's not a guy you want starting at linebacker, but he provides good depth on top of his really good special teams ability. So I think Humber's definitely almost a lock to make the roster.
Yeah, he does struggle in pass defense, but in passing situations, it's going to be Milano and Edmonds probably only as the only two linebackers on the field every single time. It's a definite passing situation this season.
All right, so we had to make some tougher decisions there on defense to cut down to 53. Obviously, we have the other three special teams guys being Colton Schmidt, the punter, Stephen Hoschka, the kicker, and Reed Ferguson, the long snapper.
Yeah, so those are obviously – those guys are making the roster. Ferguson has been actually an unbelievable long snapper. Since he has been the long snapper in 2016, the Bills have never botched a special teams snap.
That's pretty impressive, given you know the amount of pressure that's on a guy like that.
Yeah, so he is, and he's only 24 years old. I could see him being the Bills' long snapper for a very long time.
It's nice to have that spot locked down and to not have to worry about it for another 10 or 15 years.
Yeah, and that's what the Bills have had pretty good long snappers for quite a long time because Garrison Sanborn was the long snapper for a while prior to Reed Ferguson. He was just as good, and obviously, when you punt as much as the Bills have punted in the last 17 years, having a good long snapper always helps.
Pouring some salt in the wound, Nate.
Oh, man. So that is that closes out both of our 53-man rosters.
Yeah. So before we wrap up here, are there any, you know, kind of sleepers to you think we should watch for to make the roster that maybe we kind of just didn't talk about or breezed by?
I think we covered everyone that is a sleeper. The only one we might I do want to talk about a little bit more is Keith Tobrish. I did kind of cut you off at the tight end position, and I want to talk about him because I think you're right that he has a legitimate chance of sneaking onto the roster.
And yeah.
He does bring a lot of good things to the team, and the Bills kept them on injured reserve last year instead of reaching an injury settlement and letting someone else have him. So they do think highly of him, at least highly enough to keep him on injured reserve and keep him on your roster for 2018.
Yeah, so another guy that we didn't even mention, it depends on what they do with Patrick DeMarco, but Zach Olstead is a guy they brought in just for a tryout, I believe, at fullback, and he really impressed, and you know, he made the 90-man roster. And that's a guy I think we need to watch to see potentially outplay Patrick DeMarco.
So he's a guy, he's from like a, is he Division 3 or Division 2 or something?
Yes, I believe he was a D2 fullback.
When he went to Winona State University in Minnesota, and let's see, athletics. Yeah, Division 2. So yeah, he is a Division 2 player, and the fact that the fact that they kept him on the 90 after a tryout at least says he's got a chance.
Yeah, so that's a really deep sleeper that, depending on Patrick DeMarco's contract, maybe injuries at the running back position, maybe Olstead can contribute on special teams. You never know. But one other guy I do want to mention is maybe LJ McCray at safety, depending on what happens with Marlowe and Bush, or if anyone else goes down there. They seem to like McCray. You know, they signed him to the practice squad in the middle of the season last year, and you know, he's a guy that ran a 4.52 at the combine, so he's pretty athletic at safety. That's someone I could see them keeping on the back end of the roster, potentially.
Yeah, and another thing to note with him is he is a Carolina Panthers guy, because he spent, I don't think he played any games for them last year, but he spent the offseason and most of training camp in Carolina. So Brandon Bean is, at the very least, familiar with McCray. Well, he was only on the roster when Bean was there for a short time, but Bean signed him, or was part of signing him, in Carolina. So it's something, another good player to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and outside of that, there's not anyone that I anticipate making a lot of noise, but, you know, we'll have to keep reading up on training camp every day, you know, see what the beat reporters are talking about with guys shuffling around the first, second, and third teams, who's getting a lot of special teams reps. It's going to be something interesting to go forward. So I think that'll be a wrap for, you know, our beginning of training camp cut down to 53 exercise. And, you know, maybe we can come back in a week or so, Nate, and, you know, just discuss the developments of the first week of camp.
Yeah, that sounds good. I'm excited for them to put the pads on and really start getting into it. And I think once they are really going at it and full team 11 on 11, it'll be a lot easier to see what kind of guys are standing out.
Yeah, things definitely change once the pads come on, and I think that happens, you know, you'll probably be listening to this on Saturday or Sunday. I think that's when the pads go on. So that'll be a good time to check on, you know, what the writers are saying about what's going on in camp, and, you know, we can give you some analysis of that next week. So that brings us to an end of this episode of the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I'm your co-host, Alex Pallinger.
And I am Nate Schreiber.
Subscribe, download, give us 5 stars wherever you get your podcast so others can give it a listen. You know, tell a friend. Just help us grow this community. You know, it's a fun podcast. We hope, you know, obviously if you guys are listening, you enjoy it. So help us out a little bit and let us grow this community. And you can check us out on Twitter @Bills_Breakdown, Facebook @Bills Breakdown, and also BillsBreakdownPodcast.wordpress.com. You can check out our blog there now. It's up live. So thanks for listening.